Vince Cellini, NBA TV, former colleague of mine at CNN. I used to change the paper in Vince's typewriter back in the days of the typewriter. I'd be the guy to come in and say, "You need new paper, Vince?" And you'd say, "Yeah, Tim, thanks. Thanks a lot. Welcome. Welcome back into TK in the Midday, ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City. It's great to have you again. Thanks, Vince.
Tommy, it's great to talk with you. You know, it's funny, you're mentioning that LeBron, I guess it's homage, right? The homage.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where I got homage.
I think I used to see those words when I was a kid. I would read them as a kid. You know, you see them in print and say, oh, homage. Or
yeah.
The Indians, when I was a kid, used to train. Spring training was in Tucson, and I always thought it was Tucson.
Tucson.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. I had some of those
words. Wow, it looks nice in Tucson right now.
I still have those moments, you know, like with certain names, and it happens. But
I know. My point was that last night, if you watched Game Time on NBA TV, where I'll be tonight, right? Isaiah Thomas, that highlight came on, and Isaiah Thomas was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! I have no comment on that. Don't show it again." Because, you know, Isaiah and Karl Malone had their famous run-in.
Yeah, I think Karl turned the lights out on him once, didn't he?
Boy, man, you know,
I'm not laughing.
Long memory.
Yeah, no, I'm not laughing at it. I just,
well.
Yeah.
Both of those. But, where do you want to go? You want to go Hugh Jackson?
Yeah, I want to go. What do you think of the Browns? We got Nate Orchard there and Paul Kruger, a couple of former Utes who are, you know, very interested in what's going to happen there. And, I mean, they didn't give Patton a lot of time, and Manziel's got to go, right? I mean,
yeah, I just wonder, I mean, what was the rush? I mean, the season's been over for, you know, a week. And they've, you know, they hurriedly put together some sort of new staffs. And I don't know. It's just like, you know, we got a GM who's a former Met. And now Jackson, I don't know that much about Jackson other than watching the playoff game with Cincinnati and what he's done with that offense. I think he did a pretty good job there as a coordinator. But, you know, he had a stint as a head coach with the Raiders. And I know he had a falling out, I think, with some of the people after the Al Davis passed away. He wasn't their choice. So I don't know. I mean, I think that thing is such a toxic mess right now that, I don't know, I guess baby steps. Who the hell knows, Tommy?
I know, and it's strange because, I don't know, they've been close from time to time. You know, it looks like, okay, they're getting it together, and that just seems they don't stick with it, or there's – you know, that Manziel thing, it just cuts your credibility. The way he acts continually, it kills you.
Look, you just can't miss that badly on first round picks in the NFL.
You just ask Josh McDaniels about that.
You just can't.
Right.
And when that happens with the likes of Justin Gilbert or Johnny Manziel or the offensive lineman Cameron Irving, they drafted out of Florida State. Why would you draft an offensive lineman with a first-round pick when you're desperate for skill people? But those things happen. I mean, you have to choose wisely, and it didn't happen. So,
all right. Well,
I'm like most Browns fans. Who the hell, you know? We're just
there is a playoff
down so bad.
There's a playoff game in your future. It's at some point down the road. You may not be aware of it when it happens, but
I may not be alive. I may not be on the earth.
All right. Now your Cavs they're going to go into harm's way tomorrow night. 9 in a row for the Spurs.
Yeah.
I want to know about that. Then I want to ask you about how the Clippers have won 9. They've turned it all around. I mean,
okay.
So
I watched Cavs game last night, and they didn't have it. I mean, they really shot poorly in that game. They were a mess, but they stayed just close enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's one of those things now with Kyrie back, you have two guys, Tom, who can rescue you and pull you completely out of the fire. And you know, not only did Kyrie hit a huge deep three, I think the logo there at American Airlines Center, but Iman Shumpert made really two good defensive plays down the stretch to deny Dallas. So, you know, those are the kind of wins that, you know, those mean a lot, particularly now for the Cavs. Like you said, going into this Texas Triangle, they face the Spurs Thursday on TNT. They're the last team to beat the Spurs the regular season on their home floor.
Very good.
It's going to be an absolutely huge game. And then Houston after that. So, you know, the good news for the Cavs is they were a pretty average road team for a while, but they've played very well now on this road trip. So I think this was one of the things that they were pointing to for sure as they took off on this. And then they'll come back home and face Golden State. So we'll know a lot about the Cavs.
Wow. I love these matchups because they're few and far between in this year's NBA. There's a lot of mediocrity, but that's not the case in San Antonio. Somehow, Popovich has done it again. He brought in LaMarcus, brought in McCallum, backup guy. They brought in David West, who took an $11 million pay cut. I mean, wow. It's like what Tom Brady's doing. And look what they have 12 or 13 guys that play on a regular basis.
Yeah, and he has that luxury of being able to sit guys and plug guys in, like West starting for Aldridge, and they don't miss a step. And last night, a night when Kawhi Leonard really didn't have it going that well, but you had Tony Parker step up in the fourth quarter. I think Aldridge has really moved past any of those initial uncomfortable portions of fitting in, and he looks very much like LaMarcus Aldridge. So now you've got two bigs that really play off each other well in Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge. And a guy like Kawhi Leonard, who's, Tom, you know, in today's NBA, you must have a wing defender. You've got to have a lockdown guy. And he's been spectacular for San Antonio. So, I mean, we had this conversation on set last Friday, and I had Mike Fratello and Grant Hill both felt that, record aside, they felt San Antonio was actually playing better than Golden State. But that's obviously up for debate.
No question. And you know, the Warriors are the darlings. They're the young guys. They're the happening thing. But if you look at the stats, I mean, the Spurs defense is ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know,
how
both
do you hold anybody in today's NBA to hold somebody to, what, 88?
89. Yeah, it's something like that. And that's the thing. They've gotten better. They're long. And and it's just but, again, you know, they're not tested as often this year because of some of the down – you know, the down in the West. It used to be that, you know, there were six or seven teams that could get them on a given night, depending on the court and so forth. But I think
Wait a minute. Not to interrupt you.
No, I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
No. You're all over it. Tom, you've always been an NBA expert. But what about the Jazz? When is Derek Favors going to play?
It's the back spasms that never end. It's going on 4 weeks. I think he's back, if not tonight, they're saying Sacramento this weekend. Is that a back-to-back tomorrow night? They got the Kings coming in, and they need him for Boogie Cousins, when his head's right, he's pretty unbelievable. Yeah, they go tomorrow night with the Kings, and tonight they're in Portland. The word is Favors is back any minute, and the sense was he came back just a little early from back spasms, pushed it a little too much, and had a re-spasm.
Well, I hope it's just spasms.
Did they say nothing structural? They're out front, nothing structural.
All right.
So there's
That's good. That's good. But I think it's pretty important, isn't it, for this Jazz team to sort of be in the mix in the Western Conference? And, you know, I know they are right now, but, you know, to sort of get some traction in the West and, you know, maybe take that next step and find out who they are.
Yeah.
And with the big boys, you know?
Exactly. And that was what was expected based on last year's, you know, they were 19-10 to close the season with the best defensive numbers after the All-Star break. So that was where they were hanging their hat. And then Dante Exum blows out his knee in Slovenia.
Yeah.
Then Gobert goes down, misses 20 games or something, Favors. And now, you know, Alec Burks is out. I mean, four of their top five guys. The only guy who's intact is Gordon Hayward. And by the way, playing really, really well, especially
really
since Gobert
well.
Came back. So it's kind of a lost at least half a season, and they're not really that, at least publicly, that interested in going out to get a veteran point guard that might help them win now in a Western Conference that appears, you know, like susceptible to a Jazz push to get to six or seven, maybe, or five if they got hot. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag here. I've been sort of wondering why there isn't, you know, and you never know what they're doing because they're not going to say anything. But
I kind of like some of the pieces they have.
Absolutely.
I mean, I first saw Rodney Hood in Summer League.
Love Hood.
I was very impressed.
Love Rodney Hood.
You know, I think he's going to be a really, really strong player, and obviously getting Gobert back, which just his presence alone makes them a completely different team. But my question is, why Raul Neto at point? Why does he start at point?
Because, do you know the backup? Trey Burke.
Go ahead. Yeah, I know. Well,
okay, Neto's much better defensively, and he gets them into their stuff. He's a better three-point shooter than people thought. He's not a volume shooter, and he just finds people. He has a knack for finding people. Burke's a shoot-first point.
But Burks ends up like finishing some games, right?
I mean, I agree. And sometimes when Burks is around, Alex around, they just go no point. They just go kind of five guys, and Hayward handles it, and Alec Burks handles it, and Hood. But you make a great point. There are questions about why things are done. I think that, you know, they like Neto's steadiness to start the game, and they like to give the second unit an offensive push with Burke. He comes in, and they know he's a scorer, so he doesn't have to set people up. That's the narrative. That's what we have. It is what it is. But when you don't have Gobert and you don't have Favors now, and Alec Burks is out again. This is a second year in a row. He's had a major injury and missed time. It's hard to evaluate. I mean, this team, Vince, will not know exactly what they have at the point until the end of next season with Dante Exum. Yeah. He's going to come back off the ACL. They're not going to push him in October and November. They're going to let him come along, and then you'll get a better sense. But that's a long time in this world.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunate. I felt so bad about Burks because he had really been playing well and sort of found his stride. And like you said, came off another injury, and then to go out again, you know, these are the things that, try the souls of players and coaches for sure. But, you know, the good news is that some of these other guys have had a chance to grow a little bit. And I think that, you know, Hayward has really, I mean, I know a lot of people don't talk about him maybe around the league as much, but he's got great numbers, and he showed you in the last couple of games just who he can be, you know, in terms of – not only that, Tom, he looks thicker to me this year. Did he get bulked up a little more?
Absolutely. Yeah. The HGH that went to Peyton's wife, apparently – no, I'm kidding. That's a joke, a bad joke. No, he's worked hard at filling out, and he's not the skinny kid out of Butler anymore. They knew he had the frame to put on pounds, and you see it. And he's – you know, he goes in with abandon, and some of us think, you know, there are times I would rather see him force a little more than continue to facilitate and keep the ball going. I mean, at some point, you know, he's their max money guy, and as the injuries have mounted – I think the organization would be okay if he took more on himself. He is big and strong. He's still defending, shooting for three better. You know, he's
Runs the floor, finishes. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does a lot of good things. I like him. I mean, I really like his game. He's very, very talented. And tonight will be a good test for them because that Portland team,
what are they doing well lately?
I mean, their chance.
Because Damian Lillard, another local kid here, you know, from Weber State, was out for a while, and then they go into OKC and win. What's going on with them?
No, well, because Lillard gives you a chance.
Yep. I mean,
Lillard's coming off, 40 against Golden State. See, that guy will always keep swinging.
Oh, yeah.
Now he has a partner in C.J. McCollum, who they are, aside from the Splash Brothers, the second highest scoring backcourt. So they always have that chance. And to Terry Stotts' credit, he's been able to plug in some guys and still – be able to run the sets that they ran, even with the previous group of players that they had before, you know, four of the five starters left. And, you know, on a night when maybe Al-Farouq Aminu can get you 15 points and you know, Mason Plumlee can just be him with it, maybe a double-double, you know, you've got opportunities to win some games. But particularly, Lillard just got up for Westbrook and took over that game against the Thunder. It had eight threes. And so you have an eight-three guy. Then you got Alan Crabb and guys like Ed Davis who can help you off the bench. So they're not completely lost. I mean, they've gone through a tremendous reset.
Oh, boy.
They definitely have. That Lillard is tremendous player and has tremendous heart. And C.J. McCollum is out of the same mold. Small school guy, chip on the shoulder, sort of an old school game. And so now these kind of guys have found each other, and that's been the basis. But you have to give the Blazers a lot of credit, not only for resetting the way they have, but for still being as dangerous as they are, I believe.
Right. And, I mean, you, the list of guys they lost, Aflalo, okay, and then Batum, LMA. I mean, and there are others. I mean, they basically lost, you know, four or five of their rotation. Yeah. I mean,
they lose four of their first five, their starters. And, and Neil Olshey does a great job up there in terms of acquiring personnel. And I like Terry Stotts a lot. I think he's done a hell of a job as coach. But I was just thinking, Tom, as I was going to do this in Salt Lake City, you've got Gordon Hayward, you've got Quinn Snyder, and yourself. That's some of the best hair, really, in NBA, both media and on the floor.
I appreciate that. Quinn's is more of a salad. It's more of a toss salad. Gordon has gone with the half buzz and the half wrap over slick. And you don't see me, but my hair's a little bit long and wild now.
Well,
I could always get a haircut, but not now.
The thing with Quinn has gone with what I always like to call guys like that, the neatly disheveled, like it's disheveled with a purpose.
Yeah, on purpose.
It looks like it's not combed, but it's actually.
So you think when he's driving to the arena, his head is out the window letting the wind blow it all around and comes
in? No. This is a process. It's a series of gels and mousse and so on.
So multi-level. Multi-level for Quinn Snyder.
And this, I don't know how much time we have, I definitely wanted to get in. We're Facebook friends, Tom, and I see your son on there, who is definitely a clone. Your clone. He's, and also a hooper, right?
I'll go into that a little bit. He's taken some. He's into lacrosse now, which is fine. You know, I mean, I wish he'd played hoops, but he's decided to retire at an early age and put his efforts into lacrosse. He is close to six. You know what he did about 6 months ago? We got into the kitchen, and my wife likes to measure us, so we're really close. Tristan gave me that up and down look like that, and I go, dude, you do that again, and it's on. He gave me that up and he eyeballed me. He like sized me up, and I go, no, you're not that old. You know, you're not that big and not that strong. So you know what that's like when the kids size you up once in a while. You go, oh, don't do that.
Listen, I have three sons.
Yes,
and all through that teenage stage, you know, they kind of like, I know they're looking at me like, you know what? I think I can get them today. I think today is the day I might be able to. And I said, listen, I'll take you right on the lawn and we'll fight.
Exactly,
right outside.
And I'm dirty.
Let's go.
I'm a dirty dad. I will kick and grab. I mean, I'm going to come out on top of this thing. Well, you know, this time always goes by way faster than I want it to, but it's always good to touch base. This NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 700. We managed to cage Vince Cellini, NBA TV studio host, and so much more, at Vince_Cellini tonight, right? You guys are on.
Yeah,
you're on.
We'll be on tonight. We've got the split game times on NBA TV. We have the late show. I'll have Shaq and Kenny Smith with me. Two-thirds.
Wow.
Of the TNT triumvirate. So
that's great.
And always a good show. Shaq will have Diesel Dunks. We have a good time.
You do.
We'll
and
nice game wrap up.
Yeah, I wanted to say it's a real gift that you have. You're solid. You know your stuff, but anytime you can digress and tap the brakes and get on, you know maybe. You just shoot a zinger over to Shaq, or you know, anytime. I appreciate that you take your shots there.
I got to pick and choose. I just stick and move.
You got to move. Hey, great having you. Good luck. We'll be watching. We'll catch up with you down the road, Vince. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Okay, you bet, Vince Cellini. Another memorable NBAWire.com fast break.